Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that it instructs us on truth and reveals to us your character and also the gospel that changes our lives forever. And now as we go to your word, we ask that you would just open up our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I get into my sermon this morning, I have a letter here that Pastor Jamin has handed me. I'd like to read it to you this morning. It says, "Dear Pastor Rob and congregation, Brianna and I would like to thank you for the opportunity of serving at Westside Pentecostal Church, for making us a part of your church family. We'll always treasure the years we spent here. As God leads us into the next chapter of our life, we hope to have many more great years right here at Westside Church, starting today on this Sunday, April the 1st, signed April Fools, Pastor Jamin." You rascal. Fooling us with a fake resignation letter on April Fool's Day. Okay, I have a confession to make. Jamin never wrote that letter, I did. And it's an illustration for today's sermon. April Fools, everybody. This year, Easter Sunday falls on April the 1st, April Fool's Day, which doesn't happen very often. The last time that they're on the same day was back in 1956, 62 years ago. Now, I know that I think we all know where Easter Day came from, but the history of April Fool's Day is a little bit fuzzy. Most believe it started back actually in the 1500s when the Pope decreed a change from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. And New Year's Day switched from April the 1st to January the 1st. And apparently, not everybody read their mail, and they kept celebrating New Year's Day on April the 1st. And those who got the date wrong, still celebrating New Year's Day on April 1st, were called April Fools. And somewhere along the way, April the 1st became a day to play a lot of pranks and jokes on people. Now, some people think that's fun, and others, not so much. But either way, it's been around for a long time. And there's a long history of practical jokes and some pretty elaborate practical jokes and hoaxes that have been played. For example, back in 1998, on April Fool's Day, Burger King, the fast food restaurant, published a full-page advertisement at USA Today, announcing the introduction of one of the new items on their menu. It was the left-handed Whopper, specially designed for the 32 million left-handed Americans. According to the advertisement, the new Whopper included all the same ingredients as the same old original Whopper. However, the left-handed Whopper had all the condiments rotated 180 degrees to redistribute the weight of the sandwich and reduce the amount of lettuce and other things, other toppings, from spilling out of the right-hand side of the burger. Now, the following day, on April the 2nd, Burger King issued a statement saying that the left-handed Whopper was a hoax and that thousands of customers went into the restaurant requesting this new sandwich, and others went in requesting the regular right-handed version of the Whopper. So April Fool's is a day to be on your guard so you don't get sucked into some kind of a prank. But it's not something that we usually associate with Easter. We may not see a natural connection here between Easter and April Fool's Day. But in Scripture, we see that Jesus' disciples were actually accused of playing an elaborate hoax. It happened on that very first Easter. It was after the guards reported that Jesus' body had gone missing from the tomb. And the incident is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 29. Starting in verse 12, it says, "A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, 'You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get into trouble.' So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread wide among the Jews, and they still tell it today." So immediately following the resurrection, Jesus' disciples were accused of stealing his body from the grave and hiding it somewhere. And the story spread very wide. And even today, many people deny the resurrection of Jesus. Even though his body's not in the tomb and it was laid, they say that it's impossible and that the resurrection never happened. Now, what if they were right? What if the resurrection was a hoax? What if Jesus had never been raised from the dead? Just so happens that this is the very question that the Apostle Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Apparently, someone in Corinth was questioning the resurrection. And so the Apostle Paul addresses this assault against the gospel. And he examines the question, what if the resurrection was a hoax? I'd like us to look at this chapter together, this text, on this Easter Sunday on April the 1st, April Fool's Day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12, the apostle writes, "Why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. If our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." Here Paul wonders, what if the unthinkable were true? What if Christ never rose from the dead? What if his lifeless body was hidden somewhere in an unmarked grave? Just think, what if? Paul says there are six tragic results if Jesus is still in the grave. I'd like us to consider them this morning, six tragic results if Christ has not been raised. First, Paul tells us that preaching would be pointless. He wrote, "If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. If there's no resurrected Christ, then preaching the gospel is a waste of time. Coming to church and studying the New Testament would be pointless. Even if we still like Jesus' teaching, without the resurrection, it would have no authority to it and no life in it. You might as well be studying and reading Dr. Seuss. If Christ has not been raised, then all the resources and all the lives that have been given for the preaching the gospel for the last 2,000 years would have been wasted, a total loss. And all the Christian books written over the centuries would be nothing but a waste of paper. And saddest of all, it would mean that those who died as martyrs died for nothing. And those who have dedicated their lives to missions did so and are doing so in vain. Because if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. Our message is meaningless. Second, faith would be futile. If Christ was not raised, Paul says, your faith is useless. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then he doesn't deserve your trust. Because if he's still dead, then he's not God. He's only a mortal like the rest of us. And he wouldn't be able to fulfill any of the promises that he made. If Jesus is still in the tomb, there's no point in praying to him. Someone who's dead can't hear you, let alone help you with your problems, which means you'd be on your own, and it'd be foolish to put your trust in him. Faith would be futile. Third, if Christ has not been raised, then the disciples would be deceivers. Paul has said it himself. And if we apostles were all we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. If Jesus' disciples had hidden his body and laid it and lied to the world about his resurrection, it would be the biggest hoax in the history of the world. And it wouldn't be funny. It would be a sick joke and a deplorable prank. New Testament times, when people put their faith in Jesus and join the New Testament church, many of them are shunned in their communities and rejected by their families and thrown into prison and some even executed. And if Jesus' disciples deceived everyone about his resurrection, it was a very sick joke with terrible consequences for those who believed it. The apostles would be nothing but reckless liars and thoughtless con artists. Fourthly, If Christ had not been raised, then sin would be sovereign. Paul tells us, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. If the resurrection didn't happen, then there is no remedy for a guilty conscience, no cure for evil in the human heart, and no way to reconcile with a holy God. Without a champion from heaven, hell would never be defeated. Without a risen Christ, sin would rule the human heart unchallenged. Sin would be sovereign, and humanity be left to suffer at the hands of evil. Next, Paul tells us that death would have dominion. He says, in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. If Christ has not been raised, then heaven is nothing more than a fairy tale, and death has won, and death has defeated us all. If Jesus is still in the grave, then there's certainly no hope for the rest of us. It would mean that this life on earth is all that there is, and there ain't no more. Which takes us to number six. The future would be fearful. Paul tells us, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. If Christ had not been raised, then the Christian life is a pitiful way to live, because it would mean a life of false hopes, unmet expectations, and pointless devotion. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then we have no place in eternity, no heavenly Father to love us or receive us. The only thing we'd have to look forward to is darkness, and our future would be fearful, because a world without a risen Christ is a dark and hopeless place. If Christ has not been risen, then preaching is pointless, faith is futile, disciples are deceivers, sin is sovereign, death has dominion, and the future is fearful. To me, that sounds like a sad and a hopeless world. Back in 1903, an author named Guy Thorne published a book titled When It Was Dark. It was a fictional story about a wealthy atheist who wanted to destroy Christianity. So he hired an archaeologist to uncover the tomb of Jesus. The tomb he finds is a fake. It's a hoax. But the world doesn't know that. All they know is that a tomb has been uncovered on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Inside is the body of a man who was obviously crucified. And the inscription on the wall, there's an inscription on the wall that reads with these words. It says, "Here lies Jesus of Nazareth, a good and great teacher. We secreted his body away in order to place him beyond the reach and rage of his enemies. He was the best of men. May he rest in peace." The world doesn't know that the inscription is a forgery, and so they fall for the scam. Everyone believes that the resurrection story is fake news. And the novel goes on to tell what happens in the aftermath of this discovery. Churches shut down, missionaries return home, Christian charity grinds to a halt, morality declines, and the world turns dark. Well, the book is fiction, reminds us of a grim truth, that a world without a risen Christ is a dark and hopeless place. If the resurrection was a hoax, then all hope for humanity is lost. On that very first Easter, the men who guard the tomb claim that Jesus' disciples stole his body. They claim their resurrection was a hoax. And if what they said was true, then the light of the world would be dead. If Christ has not been raised, then preaching is pointless, faith is futile, disciples are deceivers, sin is sovereign, death has dominion, and the future is fearful. But what if it wasn't a hoax? What if Easter isn't April Fool's Day? What if the guards lied, just like Matthew said? What if Christ really has been raised from the dead? In verse 20, Paul responds to this question by saying, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died." And here, Paul emphatically refutes the doubters. He states, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." Now think of the implications of what Paul is saying. If Christ has been raised from the dead, then the reverse is true. If Christ has been raised, then preaching is profitable. Because if Jesus is alive and seated on the throne, then this is the most important news that anyone could ever hear. That's why Jesus told his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." Because it's a message that needs to be shared everywhere with everyone. It means that living out the mission of Jesus to spread the gospel is the high calling of every Christian. It means that investing in the work of the gospel is the most important investment that anyone could ever make, because nothing in this world could possibly be of greater value than the gospel of Jesus Christ. The martyred missionary Jim Elliot put it well when he wrote these words in his journal. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Giving your life to Jesus is the wisest decision you can ever make, because a risen Christ means the gospel is true. So if Christ has been raised, then preaching is profitable, and faith is feasible. Faith is feasible. The Bible says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." If Christ has been raised, then we can put our trust in him. It means he is the Son of God. It means his love for us is real, and his promises are true. It means that when you face challenges in life, you know who you can turn to for help. Since Jesus is alive, we know he hears us when we pray. It means that if we put our entire trust in him, we will not be disappointed. If Christ has been risen, then faith is feasible. It also means that the disciples are dependable. It means that their testimonies are true and their teaching is authentic. 2 Peter 1:16 says, "For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes." Disciples were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. They saw him with their own eyes. They heard him with their own ears. They touched him with his own hands. And they gave their lives for his mission. Almost all the disciples paid the ultimate price for spreading the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and was raised from the dead. Andrew was crucified in Western Greece. James was killed with the sword by Herod Agrippa. Philip was imprisoned in Egypt and crucified. Bartholomew was skinned alive and beheaded in India. And Simon Peter was crucified upside down in Rome under Nero. Think about it. None of them would have gone as far as that if the resurrection was a conspiracy. One of them would have cracked. One of them would have blown the whistle. No one takes a hoax that far. No one devotes their life to a prank. No one would die for a lie. More than that, Paul tells us that there were more than 500 eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. The evidence points to one conclusion, that their testimony is true. Jesus has been raised. He's alive. He's no longer in the grave. So the disciples are dependable. And if Christ has been raised, then sin has been subdued. Romans 4:25 says, "He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God." If Christ has been raised, that means God accepted his sacrifice for our sins. The fact that he was raised to life shows us that we are right with God. It means we are forgiven of our sins. It means our conscience can be cleansed. It means we don't have to be controlled by sin or evil anymore. There's now an answer for the problem of evil. Jesus is the answer. Galatians 5:24 tells us that those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. When we put our faith in Christ, we're joined with him in his death and resurrection. In Christ, we have died to our old sinful selves, and we have been given a new life in the Spirit of Christ that lives inside of us. See, evil has met its match, and sin has been subdued. And if Christ has been raised, then death has been defeated. If the resurrection of Christ, then we have the answer to one of the greatest questions of all time. If mortals die, can they live again? Will we get to see those people that we love after we die, or will we be separated forever? The resurrection of Christ answers that question once and for all. Whoever believes in God's Son will not perish, but have eternal life. Because in Christ, if Christ has been raised, then death is defeated. The Bible says, "O death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ has been raised, then we are just visitors here on this planet. Heaven is our home. And that means that the future is fabulous. You know, we might be facing trials and challenges now, but these problems are only temporary. So don't lose hope, because one day you're going to experience a change that's bigger than anything you can imagine. The Bible says the trumpet will sound, The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Your future isn't fearful. It's fabulous, because in Christ, if Christ has been raised, then it proves that God is in control, that God is sovereign, and your future is in his hands. And what's coming next is far, far greater and more glorious than anything you've ever experienced before. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You can face tomorrow with confidence because the best is yet to come. If there was no resurrection, this world would be a dark and frightening place with no hope. But since Christ has been raised from the dead, preaching is profitable. Faith is feasible. The disciples are dependable. Sin has been subdued. Death has been defeated. And the future is fabulous. Aren't you glad that you serve a risen Savior? Jesus is alive. He is the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's our deliverer. He's our peace. He's our advocate. He's our great high priest. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the King of the universe, and he's the King of our hearts. And we know this to be true because he is risen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we pray. Father, thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you that you raised him to life. Lord, we thank you that his life, his resurrection means that we have new life. And we have the opportunity to serve a risen Savior. Lord, we thank you for the promises of Easter. And Lord God, we just want to come this morning and surrender our hearts to you in a fresh and new way and say, Lord, we are committed to serving you. You are our Lord. And I pray that you continue just to fill us with your Spirit and lead us in your mission to share this message with others. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you haven't ever given your life to Jesus before. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And if you would like to invite Jesus into your heart and invite him to your life, I ask you to say this prayer along with me in your heart today. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I put my trust in you and will follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.